Welcome to Missionary Monday, where we talk to real-life missionaries and hear about their experiences living in the mission field. I will also share some missionary stories with you, and we'll hear testimonies of how God has used people, just like you and me, to tell others about Jesus. I can't wait to get started. How about you? Hey, boys and girls, we're going to do something a little different today for Missionary Monday. I have a story for you from a missionary who was telling some children who had never heard a Bible story, the story of Noah, and what the children's response was to that story. Then we're going to hear a story that I couldn't include in the interview because our interview went so long and our interview was so much fun, but I wanted you to hear it about a nurse, Nurse Tony, who was able to help a little boy who had an injury, and she was able to help him to be able to walk again. It's a great story about how God used her and her nursing skills to help someone else so that he didn't end up being a cripple his entire life. But I just gave that away, didn't I? I'm sorry, but you'll have to hear it. So let's go ahead and listen to these stories together.
Hi, boys and girls. I'm a missionary in a country where the boys and girls don't know about Jesus. In fact, the government has strict rules about sharing Jesus with others. Since the government doesn't like missionaries, we have to work very carefully. I have a question for you. What is one of the most effective ways to be a witness for Jesus? You're right. It's by our actions and the way we live. So even though it may not always be easy to witness openly, we can still share Jesus by our actions and what we do and say. I make a point of looking for opportunities to share Jesus with others. I get to teach at a school, and the children that are in my class, most of them have never heard about Jesus. They have never heard the stories in the Bible. One day I was telling them the story of a great big flood. Do you know what story that was? Yeah, the story of Noah and the ark. As I told them that story and told them about how God told Noah, "Noah, you go build a boat to save you and the people who will obey." And Noah obeyed. He built the boat. And then we got to the part where the animals went in. And the children's eyes got real big. I told them about the animals who came in two by two or in groups of seven into the ark. Oh, it was so exciting. And then I told them how Noah stood there and said, "Please, please come in, come into the ark." And then I asked the children, "What would you do? Would you go into the ark? Would you follow what the Creator is asking you to do?" The children sat there with eyes wide. One little boy jumped up and he said, "No, I wouldn't go in. It's going to stink. With all of those animals, I wouldn't want to be in that ark." We continued the story. I asked him, "So what would you do? If you wouldn't go into the ark, what would you do?" He said, "Well, I'd build my own boat. I'd build a boat and I'd get in that boat and then I'd be safe." Well, we continued the story. Noah was in the ark, and how an angel closed the door, and how angels kept the ark safe, and no one in the ark was hurt, but everyone else died. Wow. You could see the surprise on the children's face as they heard the end result of the story. You know, it really is a privilege to know the Bible stories, to know what has happened in the past. There are many, many children in the world who have never heard these stories. We need to pray for these children. We need to also pray that God gives us the opportunity to witness to them and to teach them about God and God's love.
Wasn't that a neat story? Can you imagine children who have never heard the story of Noah or David and Goliath or of Jesus and how much he loves them? There are so many children all around the world that are trapped in sin and trapped by Satan. and they're just waiting for someone to come and tell them about Jesus. That's what our friend is doing, isn't she? Well, now we're going to hear a story from Nurse Tony.
There was one little boy, especially, that I took care of for a very long time. They had big palm trees, big thorns on them. Well, he got this big thorn behind his knee on the backside of his leg, and it got infected. We went to his house. Actually, we went to see his dad. We had to hike to his village. What did it take, 45 minutes to get there, half an hour?
If we walk really fast, you could be there in 45.
Yeah. We hiked up there. We went to see his dad, and he was sitting there on his steps. Well, they don't really have steps. It was like a wooden ladder that went up to the house. Anyway, he was sitting there, and his leg was hurting him, and he could hardly move it. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, well, I got this big, huge sticker in there, and I tried to take it out, but it's just not healing up very well. So I squeezed a whole bunch of pus out of there. It was just really, really swollen and infected. Anyway, I got it all cleaned out, and I told him, you come and see me. I'm going to help you walk again, because he was walking with a stick. He couldn't move that leg.
The leg was bent up. Bent at 90 degrees like that.
Yeah. And they don't have physical therapy or emergency rooms. And
they don't have crutches either.
Take care of them there. Or crutches, yeah.
They just use a stick and walk with the stick in one leg.
And so I said, you come to my house. Well, he didn't come, and he didn't come. Finally, I talked to his dad, and I said, you get him to come so I can help him. Otherwise, he's going to walk with a stick for the rest of his life. And you see men walking around with sticks, because that's what happened to them when they were kids, and they never did walk right again. So I said, come down to my house. And he had to walk right by my house to go to school and to go home. So it wasn't like it was out of the way at all. But he was embarrassed because he thought his friends would laugh at him when they saw him on my porch getting treatments. Well, he finally did come. And I said, come every day. Come in the morning and come in the evening, and I will treat you. And I taught him all kinds of exercises to move his leg, and I helped him move it. And it hurt a lot, and he didn't like it very much. But I kept bugging him and telling him, come, 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 and I'll help you. And he did pretty well. And you know what? He finally got better, and he could finally walk without the stick. And he was so happy he could walk like a normal boy and ride a bike, whatever else.
Run again and go up and down the stairs. He was happy, but it took a lot of work.
It took months, and he had to persist in coming. But if he hadn't have, he would have walked with a stick as an old man, because he just, you know, that leg was messed up. They don't have the care.
He'd never be able to climb a coconut tree again, but now he can climb a coconut tree, go out and play football, whatever.
You know, with all these interviews of missionaries, I realize that we haven't really shared with you our story. My husband and I are missionaries in Arizona of the USA. We are on the Navajo Nation, and it's actually the largest Indian reservation in the United States. We have looked for lots of different ways that we can reach out to those around us and to tell them about Jesus. One of the ways is we have a church member who is amazing with pottery and beadwork. And so she has taught several classes for us at our church in order to bring people in so that we can share with them about Jesus. From those classes, especially just recently, we had some people start coming to church because of it. We've also done cooking programs and health seminars. One of the local chapter houses, that's kind of like a town hall. One of the local chapter houses asked me to come and demonstrate how to cook some healthy recipes. And then we made that and we handed it out to everyone, and it was a great witness in the community. Many of the people here struggle with obesity. They struggle with high blood pressure. They struggle with diabetes. All of these health challenges that many of them can be remedied or at least controlled by eating the right things. But would you believe that the Walmart in Gallup, I have been told, which isn't very far away from where we are, it's called a border town because it's just off the reservation, but close enough where everyone around us goes there for their shopping. Well, that Walmart has the highest sales of chips in the country. That is crazy. And Gallup is not even a huge town, but that Walmart sells the highest number of chips, you know, like Doritos or Cheetos or those types of things. They sell the highest number of chips in the entire country here. Diabetes and obesity and that type of thing is a huge problem. There's also a struggle with alcoholism and drug abuse. And then that leads to family strife and problems. It's so sad when people don't have Jesus in their hearts, they end up making choices and hurting others and they're hurt themselves. It's so sad. But we love it when we have mission groups come out because they help us in our community, whether it's with work projects or they help us with projects in the community like passing out literature or doing eyeglass clinics or health programs or VBS programs for the kids in our communities. It's such a huge blessing because all of a sudden you get this big group of people that come in and help us and we're able to make a bigger impact in the communities around us. There are so many stories that we could tell you. I'll leave you with one before we go. It was a very busy Sunday. Jonathan, my husband, was out helping somebody on this work project on their house, putting a roof on. I was doing some other thing. And then there was this birthday party for a boy who we had been in contact with and had gone on hikes with. But it didn't really feel like a huge priority. I mean, a birthday party. But we were invited and it was very hard to try to get there at the right time. And I had to go pick up Jonathan, then come back. And then after the birthday party, we could only stay a short time and then we'd have to go back and I'd drop him off and head back home. Anyway, it was logistically kind of frustrating. And as we were driving there, it was just kind of like, okay, now we're not going to stay very long, right? Kind of that roll your eyes. We got to do this. When we got there, it was this boy and his family and then some of the other relatives. And we ate with them and we talked with them and the kids were playing outside with them. We just had a really nice time and we were about ready to leave. And then some of the children started asking us questions. They had seen a bunch of Hollywood movies that twist the stories of the Bible and is very dark and very evil. And as they started asking us questions, they wanted to know about where sin came from. How did it begin? What about demons and angels? Are they real and ghosts? You see, out here, those things, the spirit world, is very real. Just like the spirit world is very real in Africa or India, people know that there are just evil spirits out there. It's the same thing here on the reservation. So they started asking us these questions about Satan. And then their mom came out and she started asking questions. And pretty soon we sat down out there under their carport, their covered area. And I just started sharing with them the story about how sin started, what God's plan was, what God's design was. And as I shared with them, this was something that they had never heard before. And I was sitting there in a chair and all the kids were sitting around me and the mom was sitting there and they were all spellbound. And I almost got choked up as I was sitting there because the realization hit me that we almost missed out on this incredible opportunity all because we were busy and we didn't want to go to a birthday party. But yet here I was sitting there sharing stories of the Bible just like I share with you. And then I shared with them about heaven and the promise that God gives us and how he wants us there. It was an incredible, incredible time. They did not want us to leave. They were like, no, but there finally came a point where we had to leave. But we were able to make a huge difference in their lives and to share with them the most important story that they could ever hear. And that's how Satan wants to destroy them. But how Jesus wants to give them hope in a future. Boys and girls, you can share Jesus just like I did anywhere you are. Look for those opportunities, those little open doors that God gives you where you can share and tell them how much Jesus loves them. You don't have to go to a faraway country. You don't have to go overseas. You can share Jesus one neighbor at a time, one person at a time, in the community where you live. Do you want to be faithful to God and share His message with those around you? I know I do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunities that you bring our way to share your love with others. Lord, I ask that you will open our eyes today to see those who are searching for you, and that you will give us the words to speak to help them to find you. Please bring those opportunities our way. Give us the wisdom to see and the words to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all we have for today. If you want to be on our mailing list to find out more stories about what happens out here in Navajo land, or if you want to follow us on Instagram or Facebook, you are welcome to write to me, seedpod@startingwithjesus.com. And you can find out more about what we're up to and stay in touch with our work here on the Navajo Nation. We're so glad you joined us today. If you want to find more programs and activities, go to our website, startingwithjesus.com.